Ezekiel chapter 14, we're going to start in verse number 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him, and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel, and they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as a punishment of him that seeketh unto him, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning for Sunday school. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you just for the safety that you gave us on the buses this morning. Thank you for a nice building that we can come and honestly just be comfortable. And Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for the folks that are here this morning. I pray that you just bless us. Help us as we look at your word. And Lord, take a warning, take a challenge from your word this morning. I pray that you just be with us, help all the other Sunday school teachers, and help there to be a quiet spirit among the children. And God, I pray that you would just help the pastor as he comes and follows, and I pray that you would just bless him, help all the dads. Thank you for my dad this morning, and I thank you for all that he's done for me and taught me. I pray that you just bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Father's Day, by the way, to everybody, all the men in here. We're going to look at this subject this morning. Idols of the heart, idols of the heart. It's interesting what Ezekiel said here. In verse number 3, we first see it mentioned. It says, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. They've set up their idols in their heart. And I've got a few statements I'm going to make about, and we're going to talk about idolatry this morning, because I think idolatry it was prevalent, obviously, in Israel, but it's very prevalent today. I mean, it's in all of our lives, whether we want to admit it or not. I think we all, at some point, we do commit idolatry, okay? And I'm going to show you why we commit idolatry, okay? You say, well, Brother Chad, I don't commit. Yeah, most of us do. Most of us do. Because idolatry, honestly, idolatry is putting anything before God, okay? If you put something before God, that's idolatry, all right? So, and I'm going to show you that this morning. And I'm guilty of this. I'm not proud of it, but I think it's true. There's things in my life that I sometimes put before God, and I should put those things before God. And we're going to talk about that this morning. But Ezekiel here, he makes an interesting statement, or God through Ezekiel makes an interesting statement. It says, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. So idolatry, first of all, and I believe this is true about all idolatry. Ezekiel just happens to be the one that puts it into words. Idolatry is a matter of the heart. Okay? Idolatry is a matter of heart. Look at the next statement that he makes here. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity. What iniquity? The idolatry. Okay? So the stumbling block of their iniquity. See what they've done with it. They've set it before their face. So it's at first it happened in their heart. This idolatry happened in their heart. This turning away from God or putting something, if you would, in front of God first happened in their heart. And then they set it up. Okay? None of these people ever started. Let's just take the... Okay, let's say a group of people is going to worship a cow. Okay? Now, most of us would think, we eat cows. We're not worshiping cows. Okay? But in some cultures, cattle are in the culture of Egypt. Cattle were sometimes worshipped, okay? In some cultures, they are worshipped. There's still people today, I think over in India, there's some people that still, they treat cows very sacredly over there, okay? And to us, we would laugh at that. Well, that's silly. Why would you do that, okay? Well, it's not necessarily the animal right there. It's something that's going on in their heart. The animal is just a symbol of what's already gone on in their heart. Does that make sense? Okay, so they've already committed this in their heart. That's just a symbol. Me and my wife, we've watched this a TV show. It's called River Monsters, and all it is this guy that goes and catches fish. It's a fishing thing. Okay, but he catches like big fish. And it's clean and everything. So we watch it every once in a great while. I don't have time to watch TV, but if I do, we sometimes watch that. But he'll go to these. A lot of times he goes to like the Amazon, different rivers and stuff like that. Well, you get into those remote tribes, and a lot of the people are very superstitious. Okay, they believe they've got the witch doctors. Okay, and it's funny. He'll go to. You know, he'll talk about, you know, all their beliefs and everything. And a lot of times they'll have, you know, because what he's trying to catch is basically man killers, is what he basically tries to catch, or things that are dangerous fish. So he'll go and he'll try to catch these fish. And it's amazing how many of these tribes have little figures or little things that they'll wear on a necklace that protects them from something. Or something that they worship, all right? Well, you say, Brother Chad, that's silly. Well, is it? Because most Americans have things that we still worship. Whether we want to say so or not, we still worship those things. And we're going to talk about that some this morning. But idolatry, first of all, starts in our heart. Idolatry starts in our heart. If you look down at verse number 7, it says again, for everyone of the house of Israel, it says there again in verse 4, and skip down to verse 7. For every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, okay, so first of all, you're separating yourself from God, setteth up his idols in his heart, and then he sets them up where you can see him. So you may have idols already set up in your heart. I can't see him. It's when, you know, the obvious things is when, you know, if I go into your house and, you know, we've got, you know, the statue of the Virgin Mary and, you know, a little altar and you bow down, you know, obviously that becomes an idol, right? And that's a very obvious thing, but it starts here in your heart. And then it says, cometh and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me. It's interesting. The Bible says, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. God takes this very seriously. He says, I'm not even going to go to the prophet. You're going to deal with me personally. All right, let's go to Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter number 20. We're going to look at one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter number 20, let's just start at verse number 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. So we have the first two commandments. The first one is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What is that, Brother Chad? That is, if you've got another god before Jehovah God, that's where you set an idol up in your heart. The second commandment is where you put, like Ezekiel said, the stumbling block of your iniquity before your face. So he said, all right, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That can be a heart matter, okay? Honestly, you don't have to have a visual god to have set something in front of God. And then the second one is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. What are those two commandments there? It's about idolatry, all right? We see that there. Go to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, and then we're going to jump to 1 Corinthians. Exodus chapter 32, verse number 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. What is all of this a result of? Because they made, at first, they committed idolatry in their heart. And then they went to Aaron and said, Aaron, you know, we need a god. All right, basically. And so Aaron said, break off all your earrings. I'm going to make you a god. And then, isn't it interesting how sin starts to digress? All right, first they committed idolatry in their heart. And then they went and committed a very visual idolatry by setting up a false god. And then they started to eat and to drink and they rose up to play. Okay, I've been dealing with our young people. And honestly, if I've ever given the opportunity, I think I'll deal with it as a church, because your generation is the generation that grew up with when rock music and stuff first started coming out, okay? Our young people are dealing with the repercussions of all that from your generation, okay? And it's amazing how many people think it's not a big deal about the music that you listen to. But you start studying it, and I have studied it, and I'll go to battle. And honestly, I'm very comfortable talking. Brother Chad, are you a music person? No. Okay. I can't read music to save my life. All right. But there's principles behind music that I'm very comfortable with. And there's a reason that we keep the music here very sacred and very protected. Because the music, I don't remember if it's Aristotle or Plato, said, when the mode of the music changes, the walls shake. And, you know, people for ages have known the power of music. But what has, if you look farther on, the sound, when Moses and Aaron, remember when Moses and Joshua, excuse me, came off the mountain, they said it's the sound of war in the camp, all right? No, and Moses said, no, that's not the sound of war, all right? What was that? That was their music. That was a result, okay? Their music was a result of their idolatry, okay? And it's a progression. And I probably will at some point talk about the music, because the generation, you know, Elvis Presley, you know, and that group, well, you don't have no clue the damage one man did to our society. Okay? One man. Now, it gets quiet in here because that was everybody's, you know, go-to guy. Well, he sang Amazing Grace. Okay? Hey, let's go to, I am dead serious. You want to go look in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs? You want to look at an evil man? An evil man is a man that has left walking uprightly and then starts speaking evil things. The Proverbs chapter 7 woman is a biography of 99% of country music singers. Proverbs chapter 7, woman. Look it up, and I can prove it to you. Okay? I am very passionate because, listen, this is destroying our kids. This music is destroying our kids. And it's something they can access at any time. Okay? Anyway, I'm going to spend the whole time on that, and I can't. But it's also, where does that start? Idolatry. Okay? Idolatry. It started at idolatry, where they started saying, well, we want a different God. And then they set up a God. And then the way they were living changed. And then the way the music they were listening to changed. All of it comes back to what? A heart problem. A heart problem. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse number 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. Now, it's interesting what it says then. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, remember what I said, it started with an idolater. The Bible said, neither be ye as idolaters, and then it goes into what you do. It's an action, okay? If you would look at and say, well, if you just saw the children of Israel right here without the golden calf that they had set up, you said, well, they're just, you know, they're not living right. Well, why are they not living right? Because at some point they set up an idol in their heart. Idolatry always leads to living unrighteously. Let's go to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Okay, let's look at let's start in verse number 21. Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like, did you catch that? Into an image made like unto corrupt, like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Okay, so they've changed, all right? You know, it's interesting, we're the only, Christianity is the only religion, what I would say quote-unquote religion, if you want to categorize, I hate to put us into that category. It's kind of like saying the King James Bible is the only version, okay? Well, it's the only, you know, I don't want to give any credits to the other religions, but Christianity is the only really one that we live by faith. In a God that we've never seen. And that's, everybody else has a God that they can look to. Does that make sense? Everybody else has something that they can say, well, this is our God. We don't have a picture of God. Okay? Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Okay? It's impossible for you to be a Christian without faith. Because it's something that you've never seen. It's something that you have to believe in without ever seeing it, without ever touching it, without there ever being a tangible thing of, yes, we see evidence of God everywhere. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork, but we don't see God, okay? So we live a life of faith. Well, man doesn't like living a life of faith. We want to be able to see. We want to be able to touch. We want to be able to grasp, okay? That's human nature. So what has man done here? They've changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, a God that you can't even imagine, a God that you can't even fathom. And they've tried to shrink Him down into something that they can carry or into something that they can wear. That's what man has tried to do with God, okay? And they've changed it into an incorruptible God, into an image made like to corruptible man. How many of those are there? You know, they serve an image of a man, Buddha. Why would you serve an image of a Buddha? Okay, but they do. They've changed an amazing God that you can't even, you know, if you could comprehend God, he wouldn't be God. Okay? And they've tried to change an incorruptible God into something that they can tangibly see, tangibly touch. And in fact, they want to be able to tangibly control. All right? It's this genie in the bottle thing. Well, I'm going to control it, and he'll only come out when I need. No, that's not who God is. Okay? God is supreme. God is sovereign. All right? God has rule over everything. And I am accountable to him. He is not accountable to me. Okay? There's a big difference here. I've said this before. The Christian life properly lived is a life with a proper understanding of God's position and a proper understanding of my position. If you understand where God is and you understand where you are, you can live your life properly as a Christian. When we get this out of kilter and we think, well, we're up here and God just comes to our every beckoning, you're not living the Christian life correctly. Okay, that's what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven, when his perception became a kilter. All right, verse 24. All right, as a result of this idolatry, in verse 23, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. So we've swapped it. We've taken, idolatry is swapping and saying, we're going to serve the creature more than the Creator. We're going to serve the cow more than God, if that makes, just as an illustration. All right? That's what they're saying. Now, well, Brother Chad, we don't serve cows here. Okay? But we serve other things. And I'm going to show you that. Let's go to Isaiah chapter number 44. I love this passage. God basically makes a mock of idolatry in Isaiah chapter number 44. Isaiah chapter 44, let's read part of this, and I may skip a little bit. I'll try to keep you with me. The Bible says in verse 3, Isaiah 44, verse 3, it first talks about the Spirit of God. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourse. Okay, so he's talking about the Spirit of God and the promise of the Spirit. Okay, now look down at verse number 9. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god, or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen they are of men. Let them all be gathered together, let them stand up, yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals, and fashioneth it with the hammers, and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water, and is faint. So these people are physically giving themselves, the smith is physically giving himself for this. Okay? Now, stay with me here, because it's pretty funny, actually, once you see where he's going. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule, pulls out his tape measure. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes. He marketh it out with the compass, and maketh it after the image of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn. All right, so we've got a story here. We've got a carpenter who has basically taken this chunk of wood, and he's taken his tape measure, and he's measured it out. He's taken his planes, and he's planed it out. And he's basically fashioned with this piece of wood a man, an image. to set up in his house. Where did he get this image? From a tree that he planted, that God sent the sunshine to grow, that God sent the rain to grow, that then he's going to take and he's going to cut down and he's going to use to make an image of the God that sent the rain and the sun to grow it. Okay? Doesn't make any sense. Okay? And with the same tree, so he cuts this 40-foot tree down, takes 2 feet of it and makes an image that he's going to worship as God. He takes the rest, you know, takes, let's say, 20 feet of it, cuts it up into firewood so he can cook to bake bread. All right? Then he takes another 18 feet of it and he cuts it up to keep himself warm out of the same tree that he just made a god that he's going to worship. Now, isn't that silly if you really think about it? And that's what God's saying. And let's keep reading. And I just told you what it basically said. Then shall it be for a man, verse 15, then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down here too. He burneth part thereof in the fire, with part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it and worshipeth it and prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. Wow. Well, Brother Chad, we don't do that. Okay, let me. I'm just going to use a very practical illustration. This hits me just as hard as it hits you. Okay, I'm not preaching anything. You know, okay, an image is anything made with our. Let me say this. Let me read them so I don't get it wrong what I wrote down. An idol, what we see here, is usually built with our hands. Okay, it's built with our hands. That's what an idol is. All right. Brother Chad, we don't worship trees that we cut down. We don't worship trees that we cut down. Are you sure? Because last time I checked, this is made out of paper. And paper comes from trees. Well, that's not the same thing. Yeah, it is. Because we just made this with our own hands. And the God that gave us sunshine and the God that gave us rain and the God that gave us trees has allowed us to cut down trees and to send them to a pulp factory and to make it into pulp. And the only difference is that somebody's printed some pretty green ink on this paper. Because honestly, this paper, I could take this paper. Now, I could take a lot of it and I could go stick it in a fire. And I could keep myself warm for a very short amount of time. Okay? Or I could take it and I could go stick it in a fire and I could bake something with it. Now, that would be a very expensive meal. Okay? But it's possible. And so how is that different than what Isaiah is talking about here? And so many times in our life, we sit up the almighty dollar as a god. Whatever we got to do, you know, all the sacrifices that we have to make sure that we have enough of that. Now, nobody likes it when you break it down that way, but I know it's true in my life sometimes. Things that I need to be doing for God that because of, hey, I can make an extra buck, or I can do this, or I can do that, and it becomes an idol to us. Because remember, we can make this. I can go to work and I can make this, literally. Not on a printing press, but I mean, make money. We could probably figure out the printing press thing too. Does that make sense? So many times we say, well, we wouldn't worship a cow or we wouldn't worship an image that we're making. Well, there's an image here of a man. Now, personally, I'd rather worship the, you know, the Ben Franklin ones than the George Washington ones. You know, but still, it's an image. It's something that we sometimes, if we're not careful, especially as Christians, we worship. We put in front of God. We're more willing to make sure that we have enough of these greenbacks than we are to make sure that God's got what he needs. Okay, we're no, I'm no different sometimes. I personally, and I'm just, listen, this is, you know, Ezekiel chapter 14 comes after Ezekiel chapter 11, which we were at last week. Okay, I'm just working our way through. I don't like this any more than you do. But it's true. And I'm afraid that sometimes God says, well, you know, I own the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. And you're doing what for another dollar? Another buck? Okay? That's idolatry. It's idolatry. There is no, I mean, you can, I don't know how else you justify it. Well, I'm just, you know, I think God, well, I'm just going to cut more trees down so that, you know, I can give more trees to the church. I think God doesn't want our trees. I think he wants our time. I think he wants our lives. That's the most valuable thing that we can give to God, is our time. That's our life. Okay? Idols are usually built with our hands. An idol is something, listen to this, and this is our next thing. An idol is something God has given us. Listen, God gives us this. God gives some of us more than others. That's part of being a steward. Okay? There's nothing wrong with God giving us things. And there's nothing wrong. We would be foolish if we were to take what God said and squander it. Okay? There's other principles in the Bible about that. Very stern principles. Okay? And, you know, I'm all for, you know, everybody ought to work. Everybody ought to put in their time and make money. Okay? That's being a responsible citizen. That's what God wants us to do. But idolatry, an idol is something that God has given us that we put before God. God gave that to me. Why would I put that before God? Okay? Why would I want to put the tree that God gave me before God? That doesn't make sense. Okay? And God is very jealous for this. Okay? God is very jealous. Why in Exodus chapter number 20, why did he say, he said, because I am a jealous God. And I'm going to look, and maybe perhaps next week, it kind of depends on what Lord lays in my heart. In Ezekiel, the Bible talks about, and I think it's the next chapter, I don't remember which chapter it is, I don't have it in front of me. The Bible talks about that God holds you accountable for your sin, right? And God holds me accountable for my sin. Isn't that what we believe? But you know what he said? You know something that he said in Exodus chapter 20? He said, I will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the third and fourth generations for breaking what commandment? Idolatry. You say, Brother Chad, how is that possible? I think in one way it's possible is because a parent that puts this in front of God, their children will pay the consequences of that. So, I think it's true. I've seen it. I've seen it personally. Okay? And we got to be careful about putting this in front of God. It's an idol. An idol is something that God has given us that we put before God. What could that be, Brother Chad? It could be anything. You know, God gave you your children. And when we put our children before God, they become an idol. I've seen that too. I've seen parents leave the will of God because their child left the will of God. Wouldn't that make you an idol? Wouldn't that make that an idol? Remember, that's putting something God gave you in front of God himself. Okay? There's not a whole lot of difference of saying that, okay, I'm going to take the tree and cut the tree down and build an idol versus saying I'm going to take the child and I'm going to put them as an idol in front of God. There's not a whole lot of difference there. Okay? I got to be careful about not putting my family. God comes first. Now, family is a very close second. Family is, to me. I mean, I love my family. All right? I'm all for my family. But ultimately, God comes first. An idol is usually built with our hands. An idol is something that God has given us that we put before God. When we saw that in Romans chapter number 1. So we saw this morning an idol. Where does idolatry start? In the heart. That's what Ezekiel said. He said, the idols of your heart. The idols of your heart. But Chad, I don't have an idol. Is it in your heart that you have an idol? Because I have to be honest. There's a lot of times that I have idols in my heart that you may not. Well, Brother Chad don't have an, you know, he don't have an image in his, you know, office downstairs. I don't. But sometimes I have one in my heart. And I'm willing to do what's in my heart more than I am what God wants me to do. And idolatry starts in the heart. Ezekiel chapter number 14, we see that. And then it progressively gets worse. We saw that in Exodus chapter number 32, Romans chapter number 1. Where was Romans chapter 1 going? Let me flip back there. Romans chapter, I don't know where I left you at. Romans chapter 1. All right, so we've got people that did idolatry, verse number 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Forever, amen. For this cause, where did this lead? For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Where did this list stem from? Idolatry. Idolatry. What's the first and great commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. All right? And if you can keep that in line, all the rest of it just pretty much falls into place. But it's when we get this, when we put the creature more than in front of the Creator, you don't know where that will stop. You don't know where it'll stop. So let's keep our lives balanced correctly. Let's keep our lives. I know I need to keep my life balanced correctly. I have to be careful about, you know, because listen, this is attractive. But I've been reading, I've listened to, in my truck, I listen to the Bible a lot of times. And I've listened to the book of Ecclesiastes probably 10 times in the last 3 days in my truck. I just keep skipping back and listen to it again. And that's pretty depressing sometimes. All the stuff that Solomon had, and he said what? Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What better is a guy that dies rich than a guy that dies poor? Because you know what? Both of them die. And you know, we can't take it with us. Only what's done for God will last. And let's make sure we keep our lives in balance. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, thank you for the book of Ezekiel. I never seen that, about idols of the heart. And Lord, help me not to have an idol in my heart. Lord, very obviously, we shouldn't have idols that we can see, that we can set up. But so many times as Christians, I'm afraid that I know myself, I put something in front of you that you would rather me have do something different. And Lord, I'm sorry for that. And God, I want to do better. I want to do better at serving you. Lord, I pray that you just help us to be better for you in Jesus' name. Amen.